This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the True Crime Never Sleeps show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lees. And this week on Beyond Borders, we dive into the Tokyo sarin gas attack. And before we do that, let me know your thoughts on this topic in the comment section below. Give me your thoughts on everything we've talked about. And with that, let's dive into today's story. On March 20th, 1995, as Tokyo's morning rush hour reached its peak, a doomsday cult named Unshinriko launched a coordinated chemical attack on several of the city's subway lines. Five members of the cult carried plastic bags filled with the nerve agent sarin, placed them on trains heading towards central government districts, and punctured them with sharpened umbrella tips. Within minutes, commuters and crowded cars began suffering from terrifying symptoms. Constricted pupils, labored breathing, severe headaches, and in some cases, violent convulsions. By the end of the day, 13 people had lost their lives. Thousands more required treatment for symptoms ranging from mild discomfort to life-threatening respiratory distress. This incident, now known worldwide as the Tokyo Subway Sarin Attack, starkly exposed the vulnerability of advanced urban centers to unconventional acts of terror. It shattered Japan's sense of invulnerability, disrupted daily life in one of the busiest transportation hubs on Earth, and pushed governments everywhere to reevaluate how to handle the threat posed by extremist groups armed with chemical weapons. Understanding this tragedy involves examining the group responsible, the circumstances that led them to produce and unleash sarin, and the immediate and long-term impact on Japan and the broader community. Unshinriko, once officially recognized as a religious organization, grew from a humble beginning into a militant cult with high-tech capabilities. Tonight, we explore how a charismatic leader, Shoko Asahara, managed to recruit intelligent but disillusioned professionals and direct them towards creating chemical weapons. We'll look at the intense police investigations that ensued after the attack, the decades-long legal proceedings that finally brought many cult members to justice, and the ways in which Japanese society had to reevaluate public safety, religious freedom, and mental health support. While the storyline of Unshinriko may appear uniquely tied to the 90s Japan, the lessons from the event resonate widely and remain relevant in understanding the nature of modern terrorism and the fragility of daily life in any city. Unshinriko originated with Shoko Asahara, born, I'm going to butcher his name, Chizo Matsumoto, in 1955. Although he was partially blind from childhood, his later years would see him develop a deep interest in various spiritual disciplines. During the 1980s, he blended elements of Buddhism, yoga, Hinduism, and Christianity into a syncretic belief system. At first, he attracted public attention by promoting health regimens and meditative practices, which resonated with people seeking alternatives to Japan's high-pressure work culture. Eventually, he formally registered Unshinriko as a religious corporation. Through a relentless publicity campaign, including appearances on television and the publication of numerous books, Asahara expanded the cult's membership. He portrayed himself as a guru who possessed powers to levitate and heal, and he preached that only those who embraced Om's teachings would survive a coming apocalypse. Among the ranks of his adherents were individuals with impressive academic and professional credentials, including scientists, doctors, and engineers. While many came to Om seeking spiritual growth or a life less constrained by corporate and societal norms, they soon found themselves in an environment that demanded rigid obedience. Over time, Asahara's teachings became increasingly apocalyptic. He claimed that the modern world stood on the brink of global ruin, often pointing to nuclear conflict or cataclysmic forces and asserted that only through his guidance could humanity achieve salvation. Within the confines of Alm's compounds, the organization cultivated a close culture of absolute reverence for Asahara. Critics, defectors, and even family members of disciples warned outsiders about troubling practices and possible human rights abuses, but the Japanese authorities could not yet directly tie these reports to verifiable crimes.
This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
In 1994, a smaller but still deadly incident in the city of Matsumoto, Nagano Prefecture, involved the release of sarin gas that killed 7 people and injured hundreds. Suspicion did not immediately focus on though the cult was later found responsible. Disappearances of Um's critics, as well as reports of kidnappings and other forms of coercion, ratcheted up police scrutiny. By late 94 and early 95, law enforcement agencies had placed the cult under far more intense surveillance. A climate of impending confrontation between the cult and the Japanese state created an environment in which Um's leadership believed they had to act preemptively to protect themselves from expected raids. One significant motive behind Shinrikyo's decision to deploy sarin gas on Tokyo's subway system was the cult's fear of imminent police raids. Authorities had gathered enough preliminary evidence, ranging from eyewitness accounts to suspicious transactions of chemicals, to suspect that Um was up to something dangerous. Shoko Asahara and his inner circle concluded that a catastrophic attack might distract the law enforcement or force the government to focus on another crisis, thereby granting more time to cover the tracks. Alongside the strategic factor, the ideological underpinnings of were deeply millenarian and apocalyptic. Asahara's proclamations about an impending global doom, coupled with the idea that Um's elect followers had a divine mission, may have convinced many cult members that unleashing sarin in Tokyo would serve a higher purpose. Some insiders later claimed that Asahara explicitly spoke of hastening the apocalypse or defending the cult from outside persecution. Within the secluded and tightly controlled environment of Um's compounds, it is not difficult to see how such radical ideas took root without encountering significant internal opposition. Another explanation frequently cited is that Asahara believed he needed to prove his prophecies correct. By orchestrating a massive disruptive event in Japan's seat of government authority, he could demonstrate his power and perhaps even incite chaos that would validate his message of societal collapse. The combination of strategic and theological motives created a potent justification for Um's leadership to move from mere rhetoric to actual terror. In the months leading up to the 95 subway attack, Shinrikyo methodically prepared for a large-scale violence. Part of the cult's strategy included recruiting members with specialized skills. The presence of chemists, biologists, and engineers, many holding credentials from respected universities, gave the technical capacity to produce nerve agents like sarin. The cult covertly established advanced laboratories at its facilities, procuring the necessary precursor chemicals through front businesses or foreign contacts. Sarin, originally developed by German scientists in the 1930s, is a highly toxic organophosphate compound that disrupts the nervous system by inhibiting the enzyme. Not even to try to butcher it. In small quantities, it can cause death within minutes through respiratory failure. Um's scientists perfected the process of synthesizing sarin to a purity level sufficient for a mass casualty attack. They tested the compound on animals, and according to some testimonies on unwilling human subjects, the Matsumoto sarin incident the previous year was also seen as a test case. providing OOMS valuable insights into dispersing methods. When it came time to select their targets, the cult's leadership pinpointed train lines that converged at or near Kazumigasaki Station in central Tokyo. The station is a hub of government ministries and agencies, including the National Police Agency. A successful strike there could create maximum chaos and disrupt official operations. On the morning of March 20th, 1995, five carefully chosen individuals carried plastic bags of sarin onto three major subway lines: Marunouchi, Hibiya, and the Kyoto lines. Armed with sharpened umbrellas to pierce the bags at just the right moment, these men had specific instructions on timing, location, and methods of escape. OOM operatives driving getaway cars waited outside certain stations so that once the sarin was released, the perpetrators could immediately flee the scene. The attack began around 8 a.m., the time when Tokyo's subway cars swell with people commuting to work, school, or other daily obligations. Each of the five OOM members boarded different trains, carrying bags filled with liquid sarin, discreetly wrapped in newspapers. Using the sharpening tips of their umbrellas, they punctured the bags and allowed the sarin to leak and evaporate into the cramped environment. Chaos followed almost immediately. Sarin has no strong odor, so passengers were taken by surprise when they began feeling intense burning sensations in their eyes, tightness in the chest, and overwhelming nausea. Commuters staggered out of the affected cars at subsequent stations, gasping for fresh air and calling for help. Station attendants who tried to assist were themselves exposed. Some well-intentioned bystanders attempted to pick up or remove the sarin soap packages, only to increase their own exposure and spread the agent further. The perpetrators, following their scripted instructions, quickly left the trains after puncturing the bags and were driven away from the stations by fellow cult members. Although they themselves were at risk of exposure to sarin, most managed to survive and regroup at facilities. The immediate aftermath in the subway system, however, was pandemonium as trains continued to move until station staff realized the severity of the situation. The nerve agent reached multiple locations. Within a short time frame, multiple stations reported incidents of passengers collapsing, fainting, or exhibiting neurological symptoms. Emergency services in Tokyo were quickly flooded with calls from numerous subway stations. The sudden and simultaneous nature of the crisis made it hard for responders to identify the cause. Some initial reports described the incident as passengers overcome by fumes, but the type of fumes and how they were being spread was unclear. Lacking prior training in large-scale chemical attacks, fire departments and medical personnel responded with whatever resources were at hand. They wore minimal protective gear and had little knowledge of proper decontamination procedures for nerve agents. This put them at risk of secondary contamination. Nearby hospitals, most notably St. Luke's International Hospital, soon found their waiting rooms filled with people who showed alarming neurological and respiratory symptoms. Patients arrived complaining of blurred vision, difficulty breathing, vomiting, and muscle spasms. Doctors scrambled to identify a unifying cause and eventually recognized the classic signs of nerve agent poisoning. They administered atropine and pralidexine, which counteracts some of sarin's most lethal effects. But the sheer volume of victims meant that many had to wait for treatment. By the end of that traumatic day, 13 individuals had died from sarin exposure, including some staff and passengers directly over the punctured bags of sarin. Over 5,000 sought medical attention to varying degrees of severity. The psychological toll was equally profound, as many survivors reported acute stress reactions and persistent fears of riding the subway in the future. The image of victims stumbling out of trains, clutching their eyes and throats, became emblematic of this unprecedented act of domestic terrorism. As authorities worked to assist the injured and restore a semblance of order to the subway system, the Tokyo Metro Police Department immediately launched an expansive investigation. Journalists and police alike remembered the Matsumoto sarin attack from the previous year, and it did not take long for suspicions to circle back to Shinrikyo, Within days, the police secured warrants to raid the group's known facilities. Large contingents of officers and specialized units swarmed Boom's compounds in search of evidence. These raids uncovered chemicals and lab equipment consistent with manufacturing sarin, along with documents that outlined research and other toxic substances. Investigators also found sophisticated technology such as a Russian military helicopter that indicated might have had even more ambitious plans for attacks. The discovery of kidnapping victims, forced detention rooms, and extensive surveillance networks further revealed the cult's deeply insular and coercive environment. Many OOM members attempted to flee, while others cooperated with police and provided crucial insights into the planning of the subway attack. Shoko Asahara went into hiding in a specially constructed chamber within an OOM compound. It took until mid-May 1995 for police to locate him and take him into custody. His arrest, heavily covered by the media, marked a turning point in public perception. Shinrikyo, once known for its odd yet seemingly harmless spiritual teachings, was now recognized as a dangerous organization that had orchestrated a large-scale terrorist attack in Japan's capital. In the months and years that followed, authorities charged numerous Shinrikyo members with a variety of crimes, ranging from murder to illegal arms production and kidnapping. The sheer magnitude of the evidence, thousands of pages of documents, statements, and scientific analysis, made the ensuing court cases among the most complex in Japanese history. Shoko Asahara's trial began in April 1996 and lasted for nearly 8 years as prosecutors detailed every aspect of OOM's transformation from a fringe cult into a terrorist organization. Asahara's defense team argued that he was not directly responsible for the actions of subordinates, claiming that certain followers took extreme measures without explicit orders. However, testimony from former cult members painted a very different picture. They described Asahara's tight control over every facet of the group's operations and repeatedly stated that nothing happened without his personal directive. The courts eventually rejected the defense's claim of Asahara's non-involvement or alleged mental incompetence. By 2004, Asahara had been found guilty of murder and other charges, leading to a death sentence by hanging. Several high-ranking officials also received death sentences, while others were given life imprisonment or lengthy prison terms. The appeals process stretched for years, but all were ultimately dismissed. Japan carried out the executions of Asahara and six other senior members in 2018, closing a lengthy legal chapter. For the survivors, families of victims, and the broader public, these actions brought a degree of resolution but did not erase the emotional scars left by the attack. Worldwide, the Tokyo subway sarin attack served as a wake-up call that terrorist organizations no longer had to rely on conventional explosives or firearms. The incident demonstrated that a relatively small group, if driven by extremist goals and armed with scientific expertise, could acquire materials to manufacture lethal chemical agents. Governments in many countries began reassessing their own preparedness, updating stockpiles of antidotes, and improving intelligence sharing around chemical and biological threats. The global media's coverage of the event was intense. Footage of victims gasping for air on station platforms highlighted the terrifying nature of chemical warfare in civilian settings. The attack also sparked renewed scrutiny of fringe religious movements worldwide. Researchers examined the sociological factors that allowed groups like Shinrikyo to attract educated individuals who felt alienated by mainstream society. Many saw the cult as a prime example of how spiritual longing or dissatisfaction with conventional life could be twisted into an extremist ideology when led by a charismatic and manipulative figure. One key lesson learned was the importance of coordination among different branches of government. Before the attack, police, fire departments, and medical facilities operated with minimal interagency communication. The events of March 20th showed that large-scale emergencies require a unified command structure. Shared communication channels and consistent protocols in the years that followed Japanese authorities institute multi-agency drills and improve their real-time information sharing systems. Public education about chemical and biological risks also became a priority. Prior to 1995, few people understood the symptoms of sarin exposure or knew how to react if they encountered a suspicious substance in a public space. New initiatives aim to inform commuters and ordinary citizens about how to identify potential nerve agent symptoms, such as pinpoint pupils or sudden breathing difficulties, and how to seek help. Japan also began monitoring fringe religious organizations or extremist groups more proactively. This was a delicate process because freedom of religion is firmly enshrined in the post-war constitution. Still, officials recognized the need to strike a balance between respecting spiritual practices and preventing another catastrophe. Revised laws required religious corporations to be more transparent about their finances and membership if there was evidence of dangerous activity. Critics worried about potential overreach, but many citizens supported the measures as a way to prevent any resurrection of OOM-style violence. The Tokyo subway sarin attack carried out by OOM Shinriko on March 20th, 1995 continues to resonate as a defining moment in Japan's modern history. In a matter of minutes, the cult disrupted one of the world's busiest transportation systems, inflicted suffering on thousands of unsuspecting people, and challenged deeply held assumptions about public safety. Most disturbingly, it showed that relatively small groups, if driven by a potential mix of apocalyptic visions and scientific know-how, can unleash weapons of mass destruction in the heart of a major city. In response, Japan undertook significant reforms, ranging from stricter control of chemical materials to the creation of specialized units capable of responding to chemical and biological threats. Law enforcement agencies gained new powers to investigate and monitor organizations suspected of harboring violent intentions. At the same time, the surviving victims and the families of those who lost their lives, struggled to piece together their lives back after an event that seemed almost too shocking to process. For the rest of the world, the Tokyo attack reinforced the dangers of underestimating extremist movements, particularly those cloaked in religious language. It served as an early demonstration of the threat that homegrown terror groups could pose, especially if their members included skilled professionals able to produce and handle lethal substances. By tracing the roots, execution, and aftermath of the tragedy, one gains insight into the fragile line that separated ordinary daily life from chaos and the responsibilities of individuals, communities, and governments to protect it. So with that, let me know your thoughts on this tragedy in the comment section below. Give us a thumbs up if you like your video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/TCNS, like right up here. Just put that URL in your internet browser, and anything you give goes right into the channel, helps us grow, helps us be able to create even more content for you people to enjoy. And of course, you can find us on all major podcast platforms, whether it's Good Pods, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcast from, we'll be there waiting for you to listen. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.